this anyway, just for kicks. Sam.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of the Tales from the Air podcast. I am your host, Rob Johnson. Happy to be with you. Actually recording a day early. A little proud of myself here. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Spotify, and wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcast. Also, feedback. Love the feedback. Positive feedback, not positive feedback, but just good comments. I don't need hate mail. TalesFromTheAir@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you, hear your thoughts. In fact, let me throw this out to those listening. Shoot me an email at TalesFromTheAir@gmail.com about your favorite summer vacation, summer memory as a kid. Doesn't matter how you got there, plane, train, automobile, doesn't matter. And we'll talk about those on episode 5. So we'll put that out there to everybody. So as promised, this episode is really a lot about industry updates. Unfortunately, I do have an incident to speak to that happened the other day over in India. Air India flight departing, and I'm going to mispronounce the name of the city. It's India's seventh largest city, Ahmedabad, I believe I said that kind of right, to London Gatwick. And it was a Boeing 787 Dreamliner right after takeoff, crashed into a medical school. There were 241 dead from that were traveling on the plane, and there were 30 additional on the ground that died. So just horrific, really sad. As usual, in times of tragedy like this, you see folks coming together, and the United States and the United Kingdom officials have joined Indian officials in investigating what went wrong. Obviously, Boeing has a vested interest in what happened, given the fact that this was one of their Dreamliner planes. They have recovered the black box, and they'll also be looking at maintenance records, et cetera. So looking at all that, no information yet, just really sad. One interesting note from the crash the other day, there was one person that survived the crash. And this person, I'm not going to say he walked away, but he did. He did go to hospital, but he was able to, he survived the crash, which is absolutely amazing. So he was able to provide some feedback in terms of what he saw and heard as the plane took off and then right before it crashed. So just horrific. You hate to hear this, no matter where it is in the world. It's awful, but it's unfortunately, as we've discussed on this program, since I started the podcast, there's been far too many incidents in the air. It is still the safest mode of transportation, is as crazy as that is, given the events that unfolded. So heartfelt condolences go out to the family members of those who lost their lives in this tragedy. So, again, looking at pretty much all industry updates today, not a super long episode, but there's been enough things that have popped up. I thought it was worth getting into a little bit. I do want to thank folks for the feedback I have gotten on previous episodes, especially the interview with our aunt, talking about her travel, days when she was younger, and have had some great feedback from that. So thanks to everyone for your comments. So I want to talk a little bit about an airline that, quite frankly, was not even on my radar until recently, We were looking at them as a possible airline to use on a future trip. That now has been scrubbed because they announced this week that they are leaving the U.S. market. So I'm talking about Play Airlines, and they had some locations on the East Coast that they leverage, but they're going to be departing the U.S. in the U.S. market in October of 25. They're going to start in September, but end in October 25, and they're going to focus in on short haul leisure destinations in Southern Europe. And they just, came out and said, due to unprofitable routes in the North American market, they're just not going to be able to serve it anymore. Definitely a no frills, low fare airline, and something that I would equate to like a Spirit Airlines here in the US. But Play Airlines, unfortunately, will not be flying out of any US markets after October 25. So if you were looking at them as a carrier after that time, you'll want to make other travel arrangements because that is no longer an option. So, sticking with the industry news, right before the last podcast, and I didn't have details, so I didn't talk about it. There was an alliance between United and JetBlue that was announced, and it's called Blue Sky, is what it's called. And so there's going to be a situation where if you're on a United flight, but you're traditionally a JetBlue passenger, you're going to be able to earn miles, earn JetBlue miles, and vice versa. And probably the biggest thing regarding the alliance is going to be United. They're going to gain 7 slots at JFK. And JetBlue is going to gain 8 at Newark. So, if you recall, in a previous episode, we talked about some of the challenges at Newark Airport with just, logistics and technology and everything else. And I believe, sorry, I took a little sip of Gatorade there. I believe that United was really looking for that partner where they could, get some destinations out of a different airport. And so they struck up this alliance with JetBlue and will be leveraging those flights out of JFK. So be interested to see how this alliance works. Could it be the start of a relationship where United acquires JetBlue? I don't know. I think it's too early to tell. I don't think it would be the other way around. I don't think JetBlue would have that kind of capital, be able to do that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Also, does this model, depending upon how it goes, will we see this with other airlines where there's more alliances? Oftentimes, you'll see alliances put together within a system, but it's not as robust or promoted as much as what they're doing here. And really, a lot of that stems from just the slots that are gained for United at JFK and JetBlue at Newark. So we'll keep an eye on that. More to come, but I wanted to make you aware of that. And then moving on, I'm going to stick with kind of the summer travel theme a little bit, if you will. I don't want to get political because that's not what this show's about. But I will tell you, if you have plans for this summer to travel to Europe, I would recommend that you purchase the travel insurance. Along with that, really, it's not a horrible idea no matter where you're traveling. And really, even Asia, I would recommend doing getting the travel insurance. And where I'm going with this is this week, in a really short window of time, you saw missiles being launched from Iran to Israel and vice versa. And there's just, you know, a lot going on there geopolitically that could spill over into other parts of the world. We don't know what that's going to look like, but I would recommend if you're traveling to Europe or Asia this summer, make sure you have travel insurance to help, you know, remedy any significant changes or cancellations, what have you. It's just a good practice to get into, especially when you have these volatile geopolitical situations that are occurring. Obviously, Russia-Ukraine is a challenge, but you know it's much more regional, and same with Israel and Hamas. The challenge is there, but you know, spilling over with Iran and Israel again. Don't want to get overly political here, but that has some real ramifications to expand beyond those two countries, really in a moment's notice. So be cautious of that, and just, you know, be aware when you're booking travel, and if you're on a trip and you can stay plugged in a little bit. You always want to unwind on vacation and unplug on vacation. But if you're traveling overseas, I would encourage you to stay plugged in somewhat to what's going on. Another thing that I would recommend doing is consulting with the Secretary of State website to see what their travel recommendations are, and if they're suggesting that, you know, you exercise some caution traveling to certain countries, may not be a bad idea. So just food for thought there. So getting back home, a little closer to home anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about Real ID. That went into effect May 7th. There's not really great data at this point. We're really, for all intents and purposes, 6 weeks, 5.5 weeks in from that date to actually 5 weeks in to ascertain how that's going with Real ID from a compliance perspective. So hope to get those numbers. I did make a call this week to the airport authority for Kansas City, their media contact, and did not hear back. But that person, I think, was just put in their job here fairly recently, which is understandable. But I'm going to keep digging on that because it'd be interesting to see some numbers. And then I'm also going to poke a little bit on TSA at the federal level to see if there's some numbers there. Curious about that. A reminder, if you do not have Real ID, I recommend you make an appointment with the DMV to get an updated driver's license. You are able to use a passport. You're able to use a global entry card. You're able to use a military ID to travel. And if you don't have any of those, you can still travel. It's just going to take longer to go through the screening process. So you're going to want to allow for some extra time. So if you've got an 11 a.m. flight, you do not want to show up at security at 10:15 for an 11 o'clock departure. Not recommended. You're going to want to allow some time to get through security and have that extra screening time for that. So just a side note there, and keep in mind too that the busier the airport, the larger the airport, the more time it's going to take. So you get into a Atlanta or a Dallas DFW or one of the New York airports, I would add an extra 30 to 45 minutes to what you already do for your, you know, planning to get to the airport, to make sure that you can get through the proper screening and all that, provided you don't have a real ID or any of those alternatives. So anyway, we'll keep on that because it is something that I find interesting and we'll be very interested to see what some of the numbers look like. I know there are some states that are still just backed up. You can't get an appointment to get an updated ID. So, just be patient and work on getting that. So my last item for this podcast, and like I told you, it's not going to be a very long one this week, and that's okay, is Southwest Airlines. I was going to talk a little bit about it last time in more detail, but I decided to wait. I don't know. It's very personal to me, but it's the end of an era. For as long as I recall, Southwest, they were at one time, still are, I think, by number of flights and all that, the biggest airline in Kansas City. Now, depending upon where you're listening, Southwest may be in the mix, but may not be the biggest. But here in Kansas City, Southwest has more flights and more direct flights than any other airline to more destinations. Having their model just flipped to where they're now charging for bags, there's going to be assigned seating, and there's going to be premium seating that you can purchase. It's just, it feels different. I have not purchased a ticket on Southwest since the change has been made. Obviously, those people who purchased tickets prior to the end of May deadline are grandfathered in and won't be charged for bags and all that. But if you're purchasing a ticket now for travel tomorrow or anytime in the future, you're going to be subject to those fees. And like I said, it's the end of an era. It's a little sad. I thought it was, just a tremendous marketing program by Southwest and the loyalty. I spoke about this. I still read about it, where people have said, I did not shop for other airlines. I immediately went to Southwest and booked. That's no longer the case. I'm no longer doing that. I'm now shopping. And that's sad. It really is. Times change. I understand, the composition of the Southwest board has changed. They have different interests at the table that are making decisions. And you know what? As a shareholder, that may work out great for folks. But I will tell you, for the average flying public, they're disappointed, they're angry, and there's going to be, in my opinion, I think it's going to be really interesting to see the numbers, not the dollars that Southwest takes in, although the new board members, that's all they care about. What's going to be interesting to see is the number of passengers. We're not going to see good numbers initially because I think there's still a number of people flying today that purchased their tickets a while back and aren't subject to those fees. What's going to be interesting is 6-9 months from now, when you have the majority of the passengers who are in that mode of purchase to where they had to, make a decision. Am I paying for a bag? Am I trying to, get one of those, you see them advertised all the time, the backpacks where you can use the air vacuum and load them up and you can carry on. What's that going to look like? And, what's it going to look like from the standpoint of people trying to do more carry-ons and slow down the boarding time and all that? So there's just a lot of factors there. It's going to be interesting to see. I think it's also going to be interesting. I know Spirit Airlines did this for a short window of time where they did a program where one bag flew for free. It was a really short window, and there were some items tagged to it that you had to meet. But it'll be interesting to see if another airline picks up that mantra and says, you know, we're going to do this now. I don't know. A lot of it's, you know, that mindset of I've never paid for a bag, I don't want to pay for a bag, and now I'm having to, and it just they're frustrated. So as I said at the onset, it's the end of an era. It's disappointing, and I, like many others, will now shop. I was a Southwest guy and Delta guy, but I will now look at all airlines for a you know, the best price, and factoring all the ancillary costs, I'm going to look at the whole thing. So anyway, well, that's going to wrap it up. I will tell you, folks, I do not know exactly what our subject matter is going to be next time. It may be a little potpourri of items. I know I want to chat with a good friend of mine. He and his family are working their way back to the United States now. They were over taking a river cruise. My wife just got back from a short cruise with some of her girlfriends, get some of her feedback. I'm not going to have my cruise interview quite yet. Person I want to interview, I want to give her plenty of lead time, and right now she's got a heaping plate of activities with work, so I don't want to disrupt that. So I'm going to give her a little window of time, but we are going to get that interview in, and it may be a situation like with my aunt where we have that as the kickoff of season 3. I don't know yet. So anyway, again, those of you listening, email me at talesfromtheair@gmail.com. Share with me your favorite vacation memory when you were growing up. It doesn't matter if you traveled there by car, if it was a staycation, if you traveled by plane or train, I don't care. I won't read names on the air, but I'll provide that feedback, and would love to hear from you. And as always, thank you for listening. Appreciate you tuning in. To all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day, and thanks for joining, and we'll see you on July 1st. Dwight, take us home.
She drove south I-95 straight through Kansas.